Hey Pat, how you doing? Welcome to After Blast.
Hi, Oscar. Thank you. Thanks for asking me back. This is awesome. Total honor.
Thank you very much. Good that we're both rocking Paranoid Time shirts.
Of course.
Got to have the uniform for no.
Yeah, so, I always wear my own shirt. I wear my own shirt around town.
As people have seen the podcast, I like to wear my own shirt a lot.
Yeah.
And
nobody else is wearing this shirt, so like someone's got to rock it around,
exactly. You know? And I've seen someone like kind of like try to diss the podcast somewhere, like call it the Noise Shirt Podcast.
Like, I know, like, that was one thing I like put a plain shirt on when I sat down because it just like every dude that gets on here has like a dark tee with like some obscure thing. I was we were in Florida last week. We went down there for spring break, and I was wearing that camo White Centipede's Noise shirt around St. Augustine.
Cool.
And I walked
right in there.
It did, actually. And we walked into this like this olive oil shop because we wanted to buy a gift for my in-laws. They're babysitting the dogs. And the guy was just like staring at it. And it was at the counter, like checking out, and he's like, "You got to explain your shirt." it's a record label. He's like, yeah, that was
like, so you just left it at that.
I left it at that. Like, am I? Like, it's a record label.
Yeah.
But
that's cool. Yeah. People don't
catch really people's eyes, I guess.
Yeah. I notice all the time people catching eyes. People are usually, I don't know, people usually don't ask me about that kind of stuff, but
somebody, yeah. And I've had other people talk like they, cause I wear that shirt out because if, that's a nice, it fits nice.
Yeah.
Good. You know, but it's got this giant bug on it too. And some people are like, oh, like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Triggered by that.
Cockroach
or millipede or whatever it is.
Centipede.
It's a centipede. It's a white centipede.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like, I think I'm really kind of committed to the idea of wearing, I try really hard to wear I've worn this once already, but I wore it again. I try to wear a Noise shirt for every episode. Like, that's kind of religious. Like, I have to represent a Noise project, no matter how dumb the shirt is. Like, for each
you got a lot of fucking Noise shirts.
Dude, I've got a lot, and I've started. You know, I've stopped wearing them as much in my. Well, I just have so many that's like I've started cycling them out. But it's like I try to at least wear it once, and then maybe I'll like. I mean, might even sell it in the distro. Like, I might even get it for like the shop.
Yeah,
and then just like. Just toss on
just
one.
Take it out of the distro. So, like, if you buy one from your distro, it might have been worn on one of these podcasts.
For sure. Right. Some people, I mean, I try to like shake it out and make sure there's no like.
Shake it out a little bit.
But in the chance, if you get a medium shirt from the distro, that it was worn on the podcast. Because it's just like, it's like a religious, I have to do it. And I mean,
your personal branding for
it's like I'm here to represent, man. I'm here really to represent.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that makes sense.
And I'm here to represent.
Is that like your distro Noise, that like I see? Is that your distro I see behind you? Is that or both?
That's pretty much it. It goes here, and about three further. Those are the CDs.
Yeah.
And LPs are over there. Yeah.
Oh my god.
So yeah,
it's fun. It's fun. I remember doing that.
So it's definitely fun. So yeah, you were you were one of my first podcast guests in the first couple months when it was still kind of like,
yeah,
I didn't really know what I was getting into with the podcast. And it kind of just started out like, okay, well, I want to do interviews with the people that have like been on the label first. That was kind of the first thing, like people I've worked with on the label.
So yeah,
I think I asked you even a while before.
Yep, and I kind of just sat on it, and I was just like, and then I saw you starting to do it, and I was like, oh shit, like, yeah, I totally want to do this. So, you know, again, thanks for having me. I totally appreciate being asked. And, you know, I'm super proud for you, you know, like what this has become. Like, it's hard to tell because we're in this bubble, right? Because we're like, everybody kind of knows everybody this thing, but you look at, you know, on YouTube, these things get 1,000+ views, if not more, you know, like.
Crazy. I mean, the one with Sam McKinley has like between YouTube and the audio version, which doesn't get as many, but I think it's like over 7,000
Yeah, that's wild.
Or like, I think I checked between the audio and the YouTube, it's like almost 8,000, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's like laughable to somebody who's like used to like big media type stuff.
Yeah, but
I mean,
yeah, yeah.
Like this niche level of thing for like the Rita, right? Like, yeah. I mean, what that sounds like to like a normal person, that like 8,000 plus people check out the podcast is amazing.
It's crazy. It is crazy. But I have been thinking about that though lately, that like, it is still sort of insane to me that with the world population approaching 8 billion, that like 50 to 100 copies for a tape is still like a reasonable amount.
Just plenty.
For this genre of music. Like,
yeah, I know.
Like,
that hasn't changed. That does not seem to have changed. Like,
I mean, I do think it's grown. I mean, I think 50 to 100 is still 50 is on a small scale. I think 50 copies of anything right now is pretty much like, that's pretty like limited. 100 is like kind of okay. 100 is healthy. You can some artists you can easily, you know, move a couple hundred.
Like, how many do you do when you do like probe press stuff? Like when you do those CDs, like how many?
300 is kind of standard. And for a few, 500. And if I'm going to talk numbers and flex a little bit here, or you know, maybe not myself, but just in terms of the
flexing. I mean, I'm just curious.
I think the effectiveness of the genre and the format and like the distro and all that, like the reissue I did of Sewer Election and Treyarch Shows It, Killing for Germany and Rogsved, that one that Nolan put out. I did 500 of those, and they're sold out.
Wow.
Within like a year or two, probably 2 years.
Wow.
Like I did the German and Dillaway split or collab with New Forces, but we're both sold out of those. So it's like,
yeah,
I think just having the networks to get those out is like a big thing. Cause when I started doing noise, like years ago when I was like, that would have never been feasible, but I feel like.
So we see the same group of like, dudes, like in whatever these online places that we, where this community sort of like feels like it exists, but there's a whole group. That's just like, I wouldn't say quite probably the tip of the iceberg, but there's a shit ton of people that don't participate in that at all.
Exactly.
Right.
That's the interesting part is that like, yeah, exactly. I'm always curious about, cause yeah, you have these, I don't know, it seems like you could count them on your hand sometimes or not, maybe not, but you have these guys that you're in touch with and
mm-hmm. you kind of start to feel like that's it.
yeah. But there's gotta be a lot of people in silence.
I think there are a lot of lurking and consuming harsh noise.
There are. I mean, I think there are those people that are like get into it. And I think the tendency is to get into it and be like fully sucked into it and then like want to be corresponding.
Yes.
But I think there are plenty of other, I think there are other people who just kind of are just fans of
extreme.
Music in general, like have like maybe a more wider and balanced taste in music and aren't like, listen to this stuff and I only like this stuff and I want to talk to people about it all the time and like, who are like, oh, okay, like I listen to all this music, oh, but I'll pick up this, like, this, the Rita, you know, they know who these artists are and they pick up stuff here and there. So, I mean,
yeah. Well, cool, man. I'm glad that you're, you know, those numbers are encouraging, you know, but
yeah. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. I don't like to jinx it, but I do know that there's
ebb and flow. Yeah,
ebb and flow, and I'm like, God, I hope we don't go into another ice age where no one cares about noise anymore. Because that's
we will. I mean, you will. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know because, like, in the mid, you know, in those 2010 years, I kind of like dipped out of for a long time. That was, you know, a number of different circumstances, but part of it was interest, you know, honestly. And these things are all cyclical. So even when it goes down again, it'll come back up again.
You know, like, for sure.
That just seems to be.
And you just got to hold, I mean, if you're the people who want to hold it down, just hold it down. I mean,
Yeah, exactly.
It was interesting. I don't know if you saw the episode with Dillaway, but he had an interesting like take on it. I said, what do you think is like the reason for that? You know, the no fun era, which was like the peak, and then kind of like after that, it kind of just cooled off for a while. And he was saying he thought it was directly related to the market
like market forces,
the market crash, like of like the international recession that happened like right around then. He's like, it happened a few, he's like, noise kind of died out a few years later, because it, you know, that stuff usually hits artists later. But he's like, people have a lot of those guys, you know, working just whatever menial jobs with,
yeah,
they have money for weed, beer, and noise tapes. And eventually when things kind of get tough, they have only then money for weed and beer.
Right. Yeah. Cause that money's
safe, you find right? money for yeah. that, but then like you cut costs on the noise tapes for a while. So, I mean, I don't know if that's, I don't really think that's the full picture, but
that's an interesting, you know, idea.
Interesting. It probably is a part of it. So, I mean, I don't know.
Cause they are, I mean, it's a luxury item really at the end of the day. Like if you have expendable income, this should be expendable income. This should not be prioritized, like in my mind, like if you have a budget or whatever that you live by. Maybe if this is what sustains you as a person, there's definitely probably people out there like that, that part of what I spend is, you know, on noise things. But I could see maybe that, like if economics starts coming into play, one of the first things to cut would be buying noise tapes. That makes sense. I don't know. Yeah. But interesting. I don't know. I feel like there's something bigger than that. I feel like it's just, you know, stuff gets hot, cools down. It's hot, cools down. And beyond just like, I'm sure Dillaway's point of view is like, you know, because he has a record store and he run, you know, Dick Hansen, Dust Hansen, talking about sales and things. But in terms of just like awareness and, you know, people wanting to participate, it's not just like, selling stuff, it's just
like shows, it's, you know, people
who go to shows, people start care, projects and you know, things like that.
Exactly. So it all goes together.
It feels like I don't know, I can't say because I'm kind of isolated from it, so I don't really know where we're at right now, but it seems healthy when you look at it from the outside online.
I think it's very good right now, but I think the internet has played a big role in probably also what cooled it off for a while, maybe in some way, that just the over.
Well, I think about this a little bit too, in terms of like what the future of, you know, participating in this looks like.
Yeah.
Such a big part of, you know, being in this scene or having an interest in noise and whatnot includes collecting those tangible items and first of all, shit is expensive. Like a tape is like $10 or $12, which is, seems just crazy, but maybe it's just because I'm old, you know? But, and then also having the physical devices to play these things. I mean, you can only buy like refurbished things or find these things like in a Goodwill or something for so long.
Yeah.
Eventually you're going to have to sport out for like a fucking new one, and they can't be cheap. Like
Maybe
the economics do at some point play into it, but I just wonder like what happens to noise when people stop buying the noise tapes or the, you know, the physical thing.
That's been a topic I keep asking people about and try to think about, because I think that's a very, very, very real.
Yeah, it's coming because the short-term thing. Yeah, it's coming within the next 5 to 10 years, I would say.
Exactly.
Like, I think the next wave of interest in noise will not involve buying tapes.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know if...
like after this little... if we're like in some sort of a peak now, or we're still getting to it, like after whatever is happening now sort of starts to die off however long, then when the next one comes along, like, can you really, 15 years from now, people are going to be buying noise tapes? Maybe. I don't know. But
I don't think so. No,
I don't think so either. I don't think so either. Because like a lot of the kids that are going to be into it are like 3 years old right now or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And so what are they going to know about a tape?
Exactly. I think CDs are going to become a more just normal, stable. I mean, they have become a much more like stable, just practical format. I think that'll continue. But even that's like, I mean, I always talk about like, hey, we had a pandemic that kind of just came out of nowhere.
Yes.
And turned out that we were able to, it wasn't maybe as bad as it could have been, and we were able to kind of figure it out and, you know, whatever. But like, you know, what if the next one or the next thing is just way fucking worse, or like,
yeah, because, and that could just happen, right?
Exactly. And like,
I should say I'm not rooting for that like eventuality. Like I love that aspect of the culture, right? Like we all do, right?
Yeah.
just like looking at it and just kind of thinking about it, it's kind of hard to imagine that that tangible physical aspect of everything kind of keeping on. Especially, you know? And then I saw somebody else too writing something, I think it was on the Discord server. We're talking about, or either that or is a Scream and Ride, or because I lurk on those. Talking about like gear, like what is appropriate gear, you know? And like, I, you know, laptops are probably not as taboo as they were.
Right.
No fun years or whatever, right. Like if they were back then, but people still pretty much expect you to have like a mixer and have like fucking pedals and to have fucking little tape player, you know, talking about my kind of setup, you know,